Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the first chapter. Let us listen for God's word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite our children down front for a few minutes. Any spot's a good spot, but we can make some more room for you if that would be helpful. Good morning. Are you there? Hello? Good morning. It's good to see you here. I'm glad you're here today. I brought with me something. Can you see what this is? A calendar, and it's a paper calendar. I didn't even know these existed anymore, these things. Paper calendar. Can you tell what month we're in? What month this calendar is on right now? What? December. December. Now, somewhere in December, there was a special birthday that we celebrated as a church. What was that? Whose was that? Jesus' birthday. And what day did we celebrate, do we celebrate Jesus' birthday on? December 25th. So now if I were to ask you what your birthday is, you would tell me, do you know your birthday? All right, tell me. I'm listening. Say it all at once. One, two, three, go. January 1st. That's a great day too. Okay, so we all have a birthday. We agree on that, right? April 11th? Okay. So, and I imagine, yes? Yours is close to the 4th of July? Excellent. So I imagine that if we were to ask everybody in the room to say their birth date, we'd probably cover every month of the calendar, don't you think? It's pretty good guess that with all these people here, that somebody has a birthday in one of the 12 months of the year. But did you know... Let me turn the page here. What month is this?
January.
That's the month we're in now, right? Did you know that Jesus had a second birthday? On this day right here, this day, the 12th, which is where we are today, the second Sunday of January, every year, we as a church acknowledge in some way, some form or fashion, Jesus' second birthday. Any ideas what that would be? What would have made for a second birthday? All right, I'll give you the answer. The answer is he was baptized. And in that, and being baptized is a lot like having a second birthday, because that's the moment when we get to hear some good news. And this is what Jesus heard. I'm going to read the passage in just a minute, but I want you to listen for the very last line of the passage, because it's when this voice from heaven says, "This is my son, my beloved. In him I am well pleased." In that moment, Jesus got to hear just how much he was loved by God. And every time that we do a baptism, those words are the same for that person being baptized. So if you've been baptized, that is your second birthday. It's a time to remember that God's love for you is great. I mean, wouldn't you love to hear all the time, "I am so pleased with you. I'm so happy about who you are"? Doesn't that just sound like good stuff to hear? Well, when we remember our baptism, that's what we're remembering, is how much God is pleased with us. Now, do any of you remember your baptism? You do? Do you remember having water on your head, or did you go underwater?
I went underwater.
You went underwater? Yeah, so did I. But do you remember the date? You do? Some of you? What day was it? May 22nd, last year? 2 years ago. 2011, right. See, and I was baptized in July of 1978. But a lot of people don't remember their baptism because they were babies. And today we're going to do something that's going to help us remember our baptism, maybe not with our mind, but with an experience, by feeling the water. Now, it's not, I will explain later that this is really not a baptism, and some of you may not be baptized yet, and I'd love to talk to your parents about that sometime and with you, but today is an opportunity for us to hear again how much God loves us. And to hear those words, "You are my child, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." Let's pray. Gracious God, we pray that you would help us to hear those words from you, not only this day, but every day, so that our second baptism, our second birthday, our baptism, will be a reminder to us every day of how much you love us. So help us remember today the baptism, our second birthday, our baptism, so that we may know for sure and know always how much we are loved by you. Amen. Thanks for coming up front. Y'all can head back. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 3. Listen for God's word. "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented Jesus, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' But Jesus answered him, 'Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased.'" This is God's word for us this morning. Now that Christmas and New Year's Day are in the distant past, I've become more aware of who still has Christmas lights on their homes at night as I drive by. I often wonder as I look at them, do they just have lights on their house because they like them? Or is life so busy that they just haven't had time to take them down yet? Or maybe life outside has been so cold that they didn't want to take them down yet anyway. Either way, those lights bring out the difference between a lighted and a dark home. And they continue to remind me that the light we waited for during Advent and that we celebrated at Christmas happened only a few weeks ago. But that seems to be a distant memory for some people. I was in the store this past week, and after I'd collected my purchase, I inadvertently said, "Merry Christmas," without thinking about it. The person at the register looked at me as if to say, "That was so 3 weeks ago." I said Happy New Year to someone on Friday, just Friday, 10 days after the New Year. And the person said to me, "Oh yeah, I guess it still is a New Year, isn't it? I guess 3 weeks or even 10 days is an eternity ago for some people. But I haven't moved on yet. I'm not sure how long it's appropriate to say Happy New Year, but the year still feels new to me. I'm still getting used to writing 2014 on checks. The celebration of Jesus' birth, the birth of a new year, they didn't happen all that long ago. Which makes me wonder, what was Advent all about? How was going back to the roots of our faith preparing us for this new year? What was all that choir singing and bell ringing for on Christmas Eve? Why did we light those candles? And was New Year's only about watching the ball drop before we go back to business as usual? I mean, now that we have Jesus on earth, now that the Word has become flesh, now that the Word is dwelling among us, what do we do with all of that? What's next? The Christmas decorations are finally unstuck from the frozen ground in the midst of all this weird weather. But is it really time to pack them up and move on? Was Advent and Christmas simply about getting Jesus here? Was that it? I mean, I want to know how we're going to live because of all that time we spent in Advent and the worship we did on Christmas Eve. I mean, what did Jesus come here to do? It seems like the real question for us as Christians now is how do we live into the story of God becoming one of us and being one of us now? How do we make it our own and become part of it? How do we live beyond just getting Jesus here and into the rest of the story of what God wants to do? In our reading from Matthew, Matthew's answer is one word. Baptism. Baptism. Baptism bookends the ministry of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. Today we look at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, which starts with his baptism. But at the end of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus commissions his disciples with, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." Baptize and teach people to follow Jesus. Jesus' ministry ends as it begins, with baptism. In today's gospel reading, Jesus came to John the Baptist to be baptized. This is a bit surprising because of all the people, the one who should be exempt from baptism is Jesus. As one preacher asks, why should he not stand high on the bank and watch others? Why should he not let all the others come for baptism? Those who need a second chance, those who messed up, those who waded out so deep into trouble. Let the people who have drifted so far from their mother's prayers and their father's instruction that nobody can help them, let them come. Let the people whose lives are all just tangled up in bad relationships, who've messed everything up, and out of ambition and greed think they're going everywhere when they're actually just circling the parking lot, going nowhere. Let them come. The people who are rich in things and poor in soul, let them come. But Jesus? Why is Jesus here? That was John's question as well. Jesus, you should be baptizing me. I shouldn't be baptizing you. Jesus told him, let it be. It's God's will. Those were Jesus' first words in the Gospel of Matthew. And he speaks them at his baptism. Let it be. It's God's will. Then John baptized Jesus. So what happens in a baptism? I mean, if somebody were to say to you, what's going on there? What happens
when a person is baptized. I mean, we know there's water. Some of us were sprinkled and others of us were dunked under the water. We don't know what John said beforehand, but I always ask some questions and offer a prayer. Maybe John did too. But that's all the external stuff. What actually happens when someone is baptized? I ask that because in Matthew's telling of the story, everyone there that day saw Jesus' baptism and what happened next. As he was coming out of the water, the heavens opened up, and the Spirit of God descended like a dove and alighted on Jesus, as our translation says. The word alighted means to find a place or to influence. The Spirit was finding a place to reside and a person to influence in God's ways. At the beginning of his ministry, Jesus was offering himself to be a place for God and to be influenced by God's ways in his life and ministry. He was going to do God's will. The Apostle Paul built on this on what happens in baptism when he wrote our other reading today from Ephesians. His letter comes after Jesus tells his disciples to baptize and teach, and he's trying to help people understand more about what happens in baptism, particularly as people who follow Jesus. There's so much that we could talk about in what Paul writes, but perhaps one really good way to understand Paul is to notice the verbs. Because of Christ, God chose us. Because of Christ, God destined us for adoption as God's children. Because of Christ, God bestowed grace on us. Because of Christ, God bought our lives back from the grip of sin. Because of Christ, God lavished grace on us. Because of Christ, God gave us an inheritance. And because of Christ, God marked us with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. Seven verbs: chosen, destined, bestowed, bought, lavished, gave, and marked. Just like the 7 days of creation, God is creating something new in our baptism. The first 6 days are all powerful, and those first 6 words are all powerful in their own right. But what makes God's work complete is the seventh day, the seventh verb. God marks us. We were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, Paul says. This is the pledge of our inheritance. So in baptism, God's creation becomes complete. We become marked people. God's seal is the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit marks us, stamps us with God's official seal as the people who are guaranteed to inherit God's new life. It's like when a king writes a letter and then he puts wax on it to seal it. And before that wax hardens, he puts his ring into that wax to show his seal. I mean, the better image for me is branding. Branding is everywhere. Companies, churches, people all brand themselves now. This is who we want the world to see us as. But branding like that can change. The branding that Paul is talking about, it's like what happens when a rancher with cattle on a farm. There is nothing that will ever take away the mark that a rancher puts on his cattle. They are his for life. It is permanent. It's like what an expert finds in all those treasures on Antiques Roadshow. The painter signs the painting. The carpenter puts a symbol on a chair to denote himself. The sculptor etches a special sign before the clay is fired. Baptism puts the maker's mark on us and says we were created by God. The maker marks us in such a way that all those verbs, chosen, destined, bestowed, bought, lavished, graced, gave, marked, all become sealed in us. We become marked people. Marked as God's new creation. Marked for God's service. So what do we do as marked people? Martin Luther, the 16th century church reformer, said, "Remember your baptism." That was his answer. In Luther's church, kind of like ours, most of the baptisms are infants and children. They were brought by their mothers or fathers to be baptized. How could they remember their baptisms? Luther knew that when they became 12 and 13, they would be confirmed in the church, and they would be claimed, they could claim their own baptism. Yes, they would say, I accept my baptism. I remember my baptism. So Luther asked often, do you remember your baptism? It wasn't to make people feel guilty that they couldn't remember. It wasn't to show how flawed they were. Because everyone strays from their baptism. Everyone forgets their baptism. Everyone denies their baptism. Every one of us. But what Luther had in mind was this. Remember your baptism by claiming yourself to be a child of God. By remembering that you have a permanent mark from God, God's Spirit in you. And by going about doing God's business, serving people with good news that's in you. You haven't simply been baptized with water. Water is the outward sign of the mark that has been sealed in each of you. You carry within yourself life and hope and peace and forgiveness. And God's will is that you live with that, under that influence, under the influence of that Spirit, and share it with others. For Jesus, after his baptism, he started living as a marked person. He lived his baptism. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and God's justice for the poor, the infirmed, the immigrant, the stranger, the lost. His ministry took him into back alleys and hostile territories. He risked his reputation and his life to bring the good news of God's kingdom to those who needed it most. His call for justice and his identity with outsiders made some people unhappy. Some even wanted to kill him. But he stood for people, and he stood with people who could not stand by themselves. He bore the Maker's mark in his life, and he showed the way all of us who are baptized are called to follow God. At the beginning of this new year, we can take a moment then, and we do take a moment, to be renewed in the Maker's mark in us. In our own baptism, whether it has happened already or will happen one day, we do nothing less than take on the mission and the message of the one in whose name we have been baptized. How will we live as marked people in this new year? How will we faithfully carry within ourselves the good news and share it with others? What will make this a happy new year is remembering our baptism. As we feel the water again and we renew the Maker's mark in us, to live God's ways in our lives.